Good morning, and welcome to Combatant Craft of America and the 13th Coast Guard District's D-Day anniversary and commemoration for the 83-foot Coast Guard sailors. My name is Chuck Fowler, and I'll be your master of ceremonies today. Please rise for the arrival of our honored guests and remain standing for the presentation of colors and invocation. Post the colors. Ladies and gentlemen, Commander John Swanson, the 13th Coast Guard District Chaplain, will deliver the invocation.
On June 6, 1944, shortly after the invasion of Normandy began, President Franklin D. Roosevelt addressed the nation by radio and prayed this prayer. In this poignant hour, I ask you to join with me in prayer. Almighty God, our sons, pride of our nation, this day have set upon a mighty endeavor to set free a suffering humanity. Lead them straight and true. Give strength to their arms, stoutness to their hearts, steadfastness to their faith. They will need thy blessings. They will be sore tried by night and by day without rest until the victory is won. The darkness will be rent by noise and flame. Men's souls will be shaken with the violence of war. For these men are lately drawn from the ways of peace. They fight not for the lust of conquest. They fight to end conquest. They fight to liberate. They fight to let justice arise and for tolerance and goodwill among all thy people. They yearn but for the end of battle, for their return to the haven of home. Some will never return. Embrace these, Father, and receive them, thy heroic servants, into thy kingdom. And for us at home, fathers, mothers, children, wives, sisters, and brothers of brave men overseas, whose thoughts and prayers are ever with them, help us, Almighty God, to rededicate ourselves in renewed faith in thee in this hour of great sacrifice. Thy will be done, Almighty God. Amen.
Please be seated. Thank you, John, for that wonderful invocation. Well, I just want to tell you briefly about the purpose of today's commemoration. The incredible discoveries of Coast Guard heritage vessels and veterans that generated it, excuse me, and how the event developed and why it's important. You see before you here the Coast Guard 83-foot cutter, USCG 11, at D-Day at Normandy. Imagine this boat instead of the yacht identification that it's in now, the paint and the beautiful varnished decks and cap rails. Imagine that rugged cutter in gray, completely in gray, with the number on the bow in white. and some of the windows even blocked out and painted in gray paint, so there wouldn't be any light showing through for the days preceding the invasion and the day of the invasion itself on June 6, 1944. The other cutter that you see here, the CG-83-527, was not at D-Day. In fact, we have found out through some historical research that it just missed going to D-Day. We found the second skipper of the 83-527. He's a Coast Guard retired captain. He's 85 years old, and he lives in the St. Louis area, and unfortunately he couldn't be here today. But he told a wonderful story. He said we were being outfitted at Staten Island in New York, and one night we saw a whole flotilla of 30 of these Coast Guard boats across the way. We were not ready. Linoleum was still being installed in the pilot house of the 83-527. The next day when I arrived at my cutter, the 30 other 83-foot cutters were gone. And they had been loaded upon a Liberty ship and sent to Poole, England to stage for the invasion of Normandy, and they would become part of the 60 vessels, including this one, that were part of Coast Guard Rescue Flotilla Number 1. And they were to be the offshore rescue craft and crews for the 150,000 soldiers, sailors, and Marines that were there and landed on that beach. I'm a member of the Puget Sound Maritime Historical Society, and two members, Nigel Tugby and Ron Burke, who is here today, came over to me at one of the meetings and said, I think you're interested in heritage historic patrol boats. We hear that there is a 85-foot patrol boat over in Lake Union Dry Dock, which is right over here. And we went over and took a look and asked the superintendent, John Ball, what about that vessel we hear about? And he said, yes, there is a Coast Guard rescue boat here, and we believe, we understand that it did serve at D-Day at Normandy. So we made a couple of phone calls, and we found out that it is owned by Ray Holland and has been since the early 60s. This is Ray Holland over here. Ray, hold up your hand. Ray's the one who purchased that boat in the early 60s and has preserved it basically as a family yacht, and he has cruised the waters of Puget Sound in this very historic boat and kept care of it. He's been its steward all these years, and you can see the wonderful condition that it's in. So we talked to Ray, and we got in touch with Dave Coghill over here. Dave, raise your hand. Dave is the shipwright who's done all that wonderful work together with his son, Davey. And Dave said to me that he had talked to the last, who he thought was the last surviving crew member of the cutter. And that person is Bud Eberhardt over here, who is now 84 years old and was a signalman third class on that boat as the USCG-11 at D-Day. So Dave told me, yes, I talked to him last night, and we talked for about an hour and a half, and he said, I think you ought to call him and talk to him. So that's the first time, probably 5 months ago, I guess, Bud, that I called and introduced myself and said, I'm from Combatant Craft of America. We have the third to the last of 230 of these Wheeler 83-foot cutters. This boat served in Tacoma from 1945 until 1962. After Normandy, most of the rescue craft came back. This boat then came back to the Atlantic coast and ended up at Santa Barbara, California, where it served the rest of its service until the early 60s. And then Ray bought it and brought it up here. So right in our own backyard, right under our noses here in Lake Union and in Puget Sound and in the Pacific Northwest, we have an icon, a wonderful military maritime heritage icon of D-Day and that great conflict. So what we did is we said, I think we need to bring together the man and the vessel. And Bud said to me, "You know what my fondest wish would be?" I said, "No." He said to once again, stand at the helm of my boat on the 62nd anniversary of D-Day. That day is today. I said, "Bud, with the help of your family, we're all here. We can make that happen." And so we've made it happen. Thank you, family. Thank you, Coast Guard. And it's done. And one of the things we did yesterday, well, when Bud was here, this is the World War II generation of the 80-foot class patrol boats. The next class after these were decommissioned in the 60s are the 82-foot cutters. And one of those is stationed on the other side of the Virginia Five, and it's owned by the Seattle Maritime Academy. And they brought it over. Bill Zazo, the director, brought it over. So we'd have the first generation, World War II, the second generation during the Korean War, and the brand new 87-foot patrol boat, Terrapin, which is based in Bellingham. And so we have all three of those boats here today, and that is a real lasting legacy of Coast Guard heritage. So we're very pleased that all of you are here today to honor this heritage and honor Bud as a symbol of all those who served aboard them in World War II, and then the rest of the 83-foot sailors who we'll introduce in a minute. But at this point, I am really honored to introduce to you Coast Guard veteran Wilfred Bud Eberhart.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm so happy to be here for this event. I thank all you people for having me. This is a dream come true. I didn't think that anything this nice could ever happen to me, but it has. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm proud to be a seaman on that boat. She means everything to me, and she'll always have a place right here in my heart. I just hope that next year I am able to come back and visit again. Well, I want to thank Chuck here and everyone involved in making this event possible. They've been so nice to me. And as a matter of fact, everybody in Seattle has been nice to me. And I love you, sir. And I love that boat. Thank you.
Thank you all. Be seated. One of the things we did when we brought Bud over on Friday, we started at the Seattle Maritime Academy on the 83-527. We put Bud aboard and his entire family. Betty, raise your hand. Bud Jr., Scott, Mike, grandson, Debbie. Are we missing anybody? And the grandkids in the back. And we put him on board the boat and brought him over. And as that was happening, Bill Zazo and his crew on the 82-footer, which is now called the Maritime Instructor and used to be the Point Divide, lashed up to the Tiburon and towed it over. And as we came down the lake, Bud was on board at the bow, and we were pointing out, there is your boat. So we got off here and went over, and he boarded his boat again for the first time in 62 years. And he leaned over before he took the first step up, and he kissed his boat. So that's how much it means to him. And also, when we took him over to tour the newest version of his boat, Lieutenant Jared Glandner, who is over here with the crew of the Terrapin, asked the crew to come to the foredeck because they wanted Bud to talk to them about what it was like in combat at D-Day when he was the age that they are now. So that heritage and that legacy was very, very important. So we thank the crew of the Terrapin for being here. As Mike will tell you, the Terrapin has a special place in his heart and the governor's heart. And we really appreciate you being here. We have one more thing for Bud. When we first put him on board the boat, we gave him that hat. It says 83366 U.S. Coast Guard. And he had a D-Day Museum hat, which I thought was nice, but he said, I was hoping I'd get one of these. Well, Bud lives in Mitchell, Illinois, southern Illinois, just east of a rather famous big brewery called Anheuser-Busch. So although we have our own beers around here, Rainier and Olympia and some of those, we have another hat for Bud. It's custom made. It's a one of a kind. And so we're going to ask him to change his hats now from that one to this one. And to borrow the slogan, Bud, Bud, this one's for you. This one says USCG 11. Appreciate it. In addition to Bud, we want to honor all of those who served aboard the 83-foot cutters. Will all of you who served aboard the 83-foot cutters from World War II until the early 60s please stand and be recognized? These are the men who served aboard these last of the wooden Coast Guard cutters in both times of war and peace from World War II until the early 60s. And we have already mentioned, but we really want to honor Ray Holland again for him purchasing the boat and for being such a wonderful steward of it all these years. If he hadn't have done this, we wouldn't be here today for this event. Also want to recognize some of our great sponsors of this event who helped put all of this together. This isn't done just like that. So among our co-sponsors are the Center for Wooden Boats. Betsy Davis is here. Betsy, raise your hand. Thank you. And Seattle Parks and Recreation Department, Victoria Schoenberg. Victoria, you here? Way in the back. Raise your hand. The Puget Sound Maritime Historical Society. George Osborne is here. George. Holland America Line, Bill Morani, Jr., Vice President of Environmental Compliance, and he happens to be a retired Coast Guard captain. Thank you, Bill. And the Virginia Five Foundation is Mike Foley here. Hi, Mike. Thanks. And Northwest Seaport, Shannon Fitzgerald or Pat Hartle. Pat Hartle is here. Thanks, Pat. Now to help us put all these wonderful special discoveries and this important day in context, I'm pleased to to introduce our keynote speaker today, retired Rear Admiral John Lockwood. John is former commander of the 13th Coast Guard District. Admiral Lockwood retired in 1997 after almost 3.5 decades of active Coast Guard service. During his long and distinguished career, he had many sea and shore commands. At sea, he commanded 5 separate cutters, including during the Vietnam War, one of these 82-foot cutters that you see down at the end of the dock. He's a decorated combat veteran and holds a Bronze Star with a Combat V, and he has many personal Coast Guard and other military awards. Currently, he's Director of Marketing and Business Development for Todd Pacific Shipyard here in Seattle. It is my very distinct honor to introduce to you Rear Admiral John Lockwood.
Thank you, Chuck. Can you hear me in the back? Well, a great Emerald City good morning to each and every one of you. I'm truly honored to join with you today in commemorating the 62nd anniversary of the Coast Guard's participation in the most famous military action of World War II, the D-Day invasion in Normandy, France. I really think that this epic amphibious and air assault landing began the liberation of the French and the other European peoples from their Nazi oppressors and occupying forces. And ladies and gentlemen, while it's not widely known, although you know it now, your Coast Guard was there in the thick of it. And the boats and crews we honor here today played a very significant role in the D-Day invasion at Normandy. I truly appreciate each and every one of you taking the time to be here with us this morning, and especially our special guests who have come from very far away. And we've all met our honored guest, Bud Eberhart, but I would really like to hear another round of applause for Bud and his service. And I think it's just a really fitting testimony that so many of Bud's family could be here with us today. And Bud's joined by his 2 sons, Bud Jr. and Scott, daughter Betty, granddaughter Debbie, and her 2 sons, Luke and Max. And I suffice to say that there are 4 generations of the Eberhart clan represented here today. Thank you again so much for being here. Chuck mentioned that I'm a Vietnam War vet, commanded an 82-footer over there, and I'm also particularly pleased that a fellow Vietnam veteran, even though he's from the Army, Washington State's first gentleman, Mike Gregoire, is here with us, and he honors us with his presence. So welcome first, Mike. Hooah! And I see some other friends, colleagues, and shipmates in the audience today. Captain Morani, Captain Herzberg, Franco, it's great to see you again, sir. And in addition, we welcome the other speakers for today's ceremony, Dan Withers from Combat Craft of America, Gordon Myers representing the Coast Guard 83-foot Cutter Sailors Association, and my friend, Captain Al Grantham from the Coast Guard Combat Veterans of America. Thank you all for your presence today. There's one other person, ladies and gentlemen, that we really should recognize, and without his efforts, I don't think we would be here today, and that's Chuck Fowler, your master of ceremonies. He's the driving force and why this is happening today. Well, this morning, 1 week after Memorial Day, it's most fitting and appropriate that we gather to reflect and we turn our thoughts to a day in history now more than 6 decades ago. It was called Operation Overlord. 62 years ago today, off the beaches at Normandy and in the snotty waters of the English Channel, Bud and his fellow Coast Guard crewmen were manning the 83-footers of Rescue Flotilla 1, including the one you see before you now, then designated USCG 11, and now Tiburon. We don't know, folks, to this day, exactly how many of the 150,000 American, British, and Canadian soldiers who landed at Normandy on D-Day were killed in action, but estimates range from 3,000 to 5,000. However, we do know that if Bud and his shipmates had not been on station and eternally vigilant aboard their cutters that day and during the days and nights that followed, another 1,458 sailors and soldiers would have been added to that terrible total. The crews of Rescue Flotilla 1 truly exemplified the Coast Guard motto of Semper Paratus, or always ready. They carried out hundreds of search and rescue missions heroically and valiantly. I personally have pulled dead and wounded aviators and sailors from the sea, and I think I know a little bit about how grateful those 1,458 warriors were when Bud and his crew came alongside, got a line on them, brought them out of the water, gave them first aid, and got them out of harm's way. Just a moment ago, I mentioned the Coast Guard's motto of Semper Paratus, always ready. And there's another motto that's used by many in both the Coast Guard and the Air Force who have specialized in search and rescue over the years. It is that others may live. I submit to you that the thought that others may live was certainly uppermost in Bud and his shipmates' minds during Normandy. I've been told, Bud, that in reuniting you here with your cutter from D-Day, you didn't want any special attention. But as do so many other World War II veterans, you believe that you just did your duty at that crucial time when so many of the democratic freedoms that we value so much were being so threatened. Nonetheless, here today you proudly represent each and every one of your fellow D-Day shipmates, as well as the other World War II Coast Guard and other armed forces members of your greatest generation. Through you, we honor all of them, and we extend the thanks of a grateful nation for your and their courage, service, and sacrifice. A couple of facts. During World War II, the Coast Guard manned 802 cutters that were over 65 feet long, 351 Navy ships, and 288 Army vessels. Almost 2,000 Coast Guardsmen were killed in combat. More than 2,000 Coast Guardsmen were decorated for heroism, led, of course, by Signalman Second Class Douglas Monroe from Clee Ellum, Washington, the only Coast Guardsman to be awarded the Medal of Honor. But of course, all of our World War II Coast Guard veterans served with courage and pride. So we thank you, Bud, and we thank all of the Coast Guard iron men and wooden ships, you veterans that served aboard the 83-footers. From World War II until the last boat was decommissioned in 1964, these tough little boats and the salts that sailed in them, they just did an amazing job serving in both peace and war. Your proud legacy of service aboard the 83-footers has been now carried on by the generations of Coasties and the new classes of patrol boats that have followed in Bud's wake. From the wooden 83-footers to the Vietnam era 82-footers, steel hulls like the Point Divide that's here with us today, and now to the state-of-the-art, I like to say gee whiz, whiz bang, rigs like the 87-foot cutter here, the Terrapin, and commanded by Lieutenant Junior Grade Glauner and his great crew. The men and the women of the Coast Guard that go down to the sea in our patrol boats are carrying on the proud traditions of Bud Eberhardt and his shipmates. They were great teachers, and they wrote many, many pages of Coast Guard history. Today's active duty Coast Guard force of almost 40,000 people serves aboard 232 large cutters and patrol boats like the Terrapin here, They're also aboard almost 1,800 response boats, and they fly 144 helicopters and 53 fixed-wing aircraft. But some of you know that the legacy fleet of today's Coast Guard is actually one of the world's oldest navies. However, due to the bipartisan efforts of the administration and Congress, including our own Senator Patty Murray, new 425-foot national security cutters are being built as we speak as part of a $24 billion capital replacement program called the Integrated Deepwater System. The valiant efforts of the men and women of today's Coast Guard continue to write amazing new pages in Coast Guard history. Example, the passage of time will never erase the memory of your Coast Guard rescuing 33,000 men, women, and children in the wake of last year's Hurricane Katrina and the unbelievable devastation that it wrought on the Gulf Coast, New Orleans, and so many other towns and cities. Less than 2 weeks ago, on May 25th, I attended the change of command in Washington, D.C., at which a friend and colleague, Admiral Thad Allen, was sworn in as the 23rd Commandant of the Coast Guard. The President of the United States officiated at the change of command, a first for the Coast Guard. At the ceremony, President Bush awarded the Presidential Unit Citation to the entire Coast Guard for their valiant Katrina rescue and recovery efforts. What a resounding testimony to the esteem in which the men and women of today's Coast Guard are held. I was struck by one of the comments in Admiral Allen's remarks at the change of command, and he said, "Our challenge is to attack each day and each task with a purpose grounded in who we are, what we have been, and what we have become." I can think of no finer way to demonstrate the heritage of what the Coast Guard has been and what it is today than the noble purpose behind our gathering here today on the shores of Lake Union. What the Coast Guard must become is the challenge of the future. I, for one, I'm firmly convinced they are absolutely up to attacking that challenge and shaping tomorrow's Coast Guard to squarely meet the threats that will continue to confront the service and our nation. So in a very real sense, ladies and gentlemen, we're participating today in a Coast Guard living history event. And I really encourage you to go aboard these 83-footers and talk to and listen to the stories of the men here today that sailed in them, and particularly to thank them for their service. In addition, I encourage you to take the time to tour the Cutter Terrapin here and meet and talk to the great folks in their crew. For in doing so, you will be talking to the very best this country has to offer. Thank you again for coming. May God bless the Coast Guard and our great country. Thank you.
Thanks, John. We appreciate your very appropriate comments here today. It is now my distinct honor to introduce Mike Gregoire. On his letterhead with the gold seal of the state of Washington, it says, "The First Gentleman of the State of Washington." But as Admiral Lockwood noted, he prefers to be called the First Mike. As John said, Mike is an Army veteran and also served during the Vietnam War. In his current state government role, he has a very strong personal interest in veterans affairs and also heritage and historic preservation. These two issues are primary in our consciousness today as we commemorate this very special occasion. So I am very, very pleased to introduce Mike Gregoire.
Boy, you know, it's hard to take sunglasses off around here, you know. But I'm blinded by this great, but you can tell how we have more than just the state of Washington. So proud to have such a distinguished group here today that I think we had additional help having perfect weather for this great celebration. I am so honored to join all of you today as we commemorate the 62nd anniversary of the Coast Guard's participation in truly one of the most famous military actions of World War II, the D-Day invasion of Normandy, France. The achievement of Operation Overlord is nearly impossible to overstate in its consequences for all of our lives and the life of the world. Free societies in Europe can be traced to the first footprints on the first beach on Tuesday, June 6, 1944. And I'm sure, as Bud knows, the weather wasn't nice like this, and certainly the reception on the coast of France wasn't like this. What was lost on D-Day we can never measure, and we will never forget. When that day was over, America and her allies had lost at least 2,500 of its finest men on beaches that live in infamy. Sword, Gold, Juneau, Utah, and Omaha. Thousands more would die on the days that followed. At Point du Hoc, Army Rangers, scaled towering cliffs, looking straight up into enemy fire, yet they would not turn back. Americans dropped into grassy fields heavy with landmines. These liberators of a continent overran machine gun nests hidden everywhere, punched through walls of barbed wire, overtook bunkers of concrete and steel. In the end, it came down to this. American soldiers, brave men from small farms and large cities throughout our country, kept fighting and kept climbing and carried out General Eisenhower's order of the day, complete victory. 62 years later, the order of the day is gratitude. Today we give thanks for all that was gained on the beaches of Normandy. We remember what was lost with respect, admiration, and love. Today's event combines two personal issues of special importance to me: historic preservation, including heritage vessels, and Veterans Affairs. I would like to commend Combat Craft of America, in particular my friends Dan Withers and Chuck Fowler, for their outstanding work in saving the Coast Guard 83527. And Ray Holland, who has saved the U.S. Coast Guard 11 at Normandy, later the Coast Guard 83366. And now this beautiful boat, Tiburon. Thank you. Both the CCOA and Ray have preserved two key icons of military maritime history and have my deepest thanks and congratulations. We hope that these two historic vessels will be part of a new Freedom Heritage Fleet project that you are going to hear more about in the future. The aim is to highlight their important military heritage roles, honor the veterans who served aboard them, and sustain them in their stories for the future. Today, we are also so very proud to honor Bud Eberhardt. Bud, thank you for your Coast Guard service at D-Day and during World War II. You and your fellow sailors, soldiers, airmen, Marines, and women in the armed forces, including my dear dad, Herman Gregoire, who passed away 10 years ago, are truly members of the greatest generation. You have our greatest thanks for all that you did for us and our nation in the defense of liberty. I am pleased particularly to be here today in the presence of the next generation of Coast Guard patrol boats, the Terrapin, great. Thank you, folks. Thank you very much. It is a high-tech steel successor to the rugged wooden cutters that served the Coast Guard and America so well from World War II until the 1960s. In January 1, I had the honor to join Admiral Hawke aboard the Terrapin as it made its last leg to its new home port in Bellingham. Governor Gregoire sponsored and commissioned this beautiful 87-foot patrol boat on March 23rd in Bellingham. It is a pleasure to see the Terrapin, her commander and crew once again, and under more sunny skies, I believe it was, than then. All one has to do is spend a short time with these men to know that the security of our nation is in very good hands. Once again, thanks to all of you who have taken the time to be here today. It is such an honor to be with all of you to commemorate this day and will forever be remembered by those who worship at the altar of liberty and freedom. God bless America. Thank you very much.
I'd now like my friend and fellow veteran Dan Withers, the president of the Combatant Craft of America, to present a few remarks. And although he's a Navy veteran and I'm Air Force, and today we're both masquerading as Coast Guardsmen, we're good friends in spite of this inter-service rivalry and kind of this schizophrenia. Dan is a wonderful, hardworking wife, Roxanne. Roxanne, are you here somewhere in the back? Hi, Roxanne. Thanks. Have become great colleagues in recent years as we've shared our passion for trying to help preserve military maritime history. So I'm really pleased to present to you Dan Withers.
Wow, it's hard to follow all that. Well, it's a pleasure to be part of this memorial service. This site was designated for events just like this, and it's appropriate that our proud military heritage be part of this. Our nonprofit organization, Combatant Craft of America, is honored to have found the 83527 in California and start that initial restoration. During that trip up the coast, we stayed as overnight guests at Station Noyo River, Fort Bragg, California, and Station Yaquinta Bay in Newport, Oregon. I had a great time at both locations. During the 2 years since we returned the 527 to her historical home port waters, and specifically Tacoma, we have met many wonderful Coast Guard veterans who served aboard her and have heard some fantastic and heartwarming stories, and we believe some of them are even true. This is the mission of our organization, to preserve these historic vessels through veterans and restore their living history and help pass on this legacy to the future. And we hope in many ways that you will join and help us achieve this worthy goal. There really isn't time today to thank everyone that teamed up with us to make this event possible. And I think we saw a new spirit of cooperation between many organizations. Though I hope that this is the first step for many celebrations like this. I want to thank Bud's family for trusting us that we were creating a program that would show our appreciation for him and other men that served on the 83-footers and the other sea services. Thank you for being with us today and honoring both of these historic Coast Guard vessels and the sailors that served aboard them.
Thanks, Dan. Now, Gordon Myers was a proud Coast Guard veteran, a former 83-foot cutter skipper, a retired commercial airline pilot, and now a Coast Guard Auxiliary Lieutenant Commander and a pilot for the Auxiliary. Will tell us a little bit about the 83-foot cutter sailors and their veterans organization. Commander Myers.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. First of all, I want to thank someone that isn't here, and that's Mr. Wink Weber, who is the president of the 83-Footer Sailors Association. He couldn't make it today, and I'm the fill-in, so you'll have to put up with second-class operation here today. Admiral Lockhart, guess. In 1959, when, as a young ensign, I was fortunate enough to be given command of the Coast Guard Cutter 83484, that experience was more than just command, it was one of camaraderie. The young men and chiefs with which I served represented all that's great in America and in the Coast Guard. 47 years later, these men, some of which are here today, make up part of the 83 Sailors Association. This group celebrates both the war and peace, and we do that together. These are and were the Iron Men in wooden ships. And that bond and pride lives on today. Semper Paratus. Thank you.
Thanks, Gordon. Another Coast Guard veteran I am pleased to introduce is retired Captain Al Grantham, past president of the Coast Guard Combat Veterans of America. Captain Grantham will talk about the Coast Guard's combat role in wartime from the beaches off Normandy during World War II to today's much less predictable but still deadly conflicts throughout the world. Captain Grantham.
Thank you. Thank you, Chuck. I'm very pleased to take part in this today's commemoration ceremony and to recognize a fellow Coast Guardsman, Bud Eberhart, on behalf of the Combat Coast Guard Veterans Association. Our association was founded slightly less than 30 years ago by a group of Coast Guard Vietnam veterans that felt the time was right to establish an association that recognized the combat action of the men and women of the Coast Guard. Our criteria for membership are having served honorably in the Coast Guard or Coast Guard Reserve, received a military campaign award. We have Coast Guard combat veterans from World War II, Korea, Vietnam, the Gulf War and Desert Storm, and now the worldwide war on terrorism. Few people outside the Coast Guard are aware of the Coast Guard's illustrious combat history. It was great that the Color Guard was here today and they brought the Coast Guard flag. I'd call your attention to those battle streamers. The Coast Guard has fought in every war that the United States has participated in from the days of the Barbary Pirates forward. One of the things I would, in the words of our Coast Guard March, state so clearly that said, from Aztec shore to Arctic zone to Europe and Far East, our flags unfurled. And we count among our members two former commandants of the Coast Guard, and they mentioned the Coast Guard's only Medal of Honor winner, Signalman First Class Douglas Monroe. The other crew member in that boat with him when he was killed was Ray Evans, who is also a member of our association who lives down in Tacoma. One of our association's goals has been to see that the Coast Guard's participations in these combat actions are properly recognized. And to this end, we've established historic bronze markers, plaques, on Omaha Beach in France. And I might comment, it's the only plaque there that recognizes the naval services. And one of my fellow past presidents of the Combat Veterans Association, Mr. Jack Campbell of New Jersey, has been instrumental in establishing a historical marker in the harbor at Poole, England the home port of Rescue Flotilla 1 in World War II. And we've also established markers commemorating the Coast Guard's participation in Vietnam at the Coast Guard Academy in New London and at our recruit training center in Cape May, New Jersey. Meeting Bud Eberhart has to be a great honor for me personally, and to see these two stalwarts of Coast Guard service brings back fond memories to me. The first Coast Guard vessel that I went to sea on during my 34 years in the Coast Guard was a sister to these, the 83-312. In closing, let me thank all of you for being with us today and recognizing these historic Coast Guard boats and the Coast Guard who serve in them. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Al. There's a couple other people I'd like to recognize here today. One woman who just came in and talked to my relatives, Jack and Betty LaFaw, was Karen Daubert. And Karen Daubert is the executive director of the Seattle Parks Foundation. And she and Betsy Davis have been just wonderful colleagues as we have tried to bring the heritage, the maritime heritage of Puget Sound, especially of the military, that like we've done today, to this venue. It's a very appropriate venue here at the former Naval Reserve Center at the south end of Lake Union. Also want to recognize Commodore John Kelly. John, will you raise your hand? Commodore Kelly is the past Pacific Northwest Area Commander for the Sea Scouts of America. And you and your youth, John, are a real very important part of our military maritime history. So thank you for being here today. The other group I want to recognize is one that has really supported us in putting on this particular program. And I have John Lockwood to thank for putting me in touch with the wonderful people in Coast Guard District 13, and especially the Public Affairs Office headed by Lieutenant Commander Andre Billadoux over here. Andre, they can't see you, but come on out here and be recognized. And Lieutenant Ron Owens. Ron, come on out. Is Keith here today, Andre? Is the chief? The chief is Keith. Chief Keith Alholm is busy, but another guy I've really relied upon happens to be over on this side. Where are you, Sean? Oh, he's right here. Petty Officer Sean Eggert. I'm an old Air Force public affairs officer myself, and I know what these guys do, and they've really done a job for us here today. What we'd like to do now is have Admiral Lockwood and Bud Eberhart proceed with the family. We haven't really briefed you about this, but you don't have to march in close order or anything. I'm going to ask John and Bud and Scott and the rest of the family to go down the gangway and board the Tiburon, your boat, Bud, the USCG 11, for our final part of the ceremonies. At the same time, I'd like to ask Dan Withers and Gordon Myers to take the memorial wreath and board the small boat down here, which will take the wreath out for a wreath-laying ceremony. As the honorees leave the stage, please rise as Admiral Lockwood, Bud Eberhart, Dan Withers, and Gordon Myers proceed to their vessels. I need to give you some instructions and a heads-up, a warning, a very pleasant one. Please stand by for the playing of taps. Military guests, please render a hand salute upon the first note of the music. As a special note, there will be four cannon volleys immediately following taps. The cannon is nearby, so please don't be startled. Military guests may drop your salutes immediately following the last cannon shot. Commander Swanson, are you ready to talk a little bit about the symbolism of this ceremony? John?
The four cannon blasts that you are about to hear prior to the rendering of TAPS is symbolic of the four Coast Guard LSTs that were lost during the invasion of Normandy and the crews who piloted them. And at this time, before we actually lay the wreath, I'd like to offer a word of short prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we have come together on this day to honor and to remember the great sacrifices of those brave and heroic men who were present on June 6, 1944 on the beaches of Normandy. Gracious God, we give you thanks for their bravery, their heroism, for the fact that they answered that call to duty when their nation needed them most. Gracious God, their efforts helped rid the world of tyranny and evil and oppression. Lord, today we continue to wage war against tyranny and oppression, and we continue to lift up with one voice, as America did on that day on June 6, 1944. Today, so we also lift up with one voice our prayers, our continued prayers, for those who serve in harm's way, for those who battle the forces of tyranny and oppression in our world. Be with them, be with their families, guide them and keep them safe, and sustain them by your mercy and grace. We pray this in your holy name. Amen.
Thank you, John. If you wish, some of you can come down to this end. The wreath will be laid right out here in the lake, and you'll be able to see it from this vantage point. So just come on down and gather around. Ladies and gentlemen, this Coast Guard helicopter flyover, a wonderful part of the Coast Guard Shield of Freedom, concludes our ceremony. As indicated in your program, you're invited to an informal reception, which begins immediately aboard the Virginia 5 at the west end of the wharf. And you're also welcome to attend the 2 p.m. unveiling of a plaque honoring the Navy, Marine Corps, and Coast Guard reservists who trained here at the Naval Center. Thank you for attending our commemoration today.